This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organised, assertive, activist.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. And we're at Listen Conference 2016, Feminist Futures, held at the Trades Hall, Bella Union, October the 15th, Saturday. It is 2016. It's 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And this panel's called Communities and Intersections, Race and Sexism in Music. It's an awesome panel with some fantastic, inspirational people, including Bex, she's the moderator, Namila Benson, Sovereign Tracks, Still Nomads, and Wahi. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. Unfortunately, we lost about 34 minutes of the first part of the actual recording due to a technical issue. So sorry about that. Apologies. But at least we picked up the last, I believe, 28 to 32 minutes. So hopefully we haven't missed too much. It's the best I can do at this point. Remember to tune into Broad Monday nights, 9 to 10 p.m. on Joy 94.9.
With someone that's like white cis male and you're like in broadcasting, like, here's Bob. Bob is a white cis male and has two kids and owns a V-dub. And here's Namila. It's going to play some music. Take it away. Like, could we possibly start there? Like, could we start, like, you know, just like separating things like that, you know? Here's Barbara. Barbara can't stay in her lane. You know, she's got a poodle that fits in her bag. Thank you, Barbara. I feel like there should be something that's definitely started. I want to try and give it a hoon, actually, personally. I want to hear from everyone else, like, in terms of people putting the label on you to represent everyone else as well. And I guess, personally, I get sick and tired of hearing people go, oh, well, my other black friend said it's okay, so it should be okay. I guess let's have a bit of a cordial and bring it all out.
I feel like, I've gotten asked to, like, I'll critique, like, someone will be message me and I'll critique their event or their party and be like, oh, you know, there's like just too many white people or something. And then, they'll be like, what do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. Stop being so white. Like, I don't have the answers. Like, I'm not going to sit down and write you like a Shakespearean novel about how you should, what you should change and who you should talk to. And like, it just the requests for more labor. Yeah, I just stopped writing back. And I had another point I was going to say, but
I guess it seems quite common, like the whole ignoring thing when it comes to people approaching you. Just like, oh, hey. It's just like looking away and just like completely ignoring it. So I'm glad that we're all like on the similar page for that too. Anyone else that?
I think, so Still Nomads gets a lot of emails from like white organisations, festivals, whatever, asking like, dear Still Nomads, we are running an event on this day and we'd like to feature some African artists. Please give us access to your contacts and your community for free. Yeah. We're not going to actually pay them because it's a community event, even though we're funded. But it'll be a great opportunity for networking and it'll be a wonderful opportunity for exposure. And we get these emails all the time. And when you just said, like, you ignore... Samira and I, we really quite literally 99% do not even reply to those emails. Like, that is not even worth the... we read them and then we laugh. Like, the audacity.
It kind of sounds like one of those scam emails that you get. Like, hi, I've got a dying uncle. There's some money waiting here for you. It's like, it should be in the junk email straight away.
It's so amazing. And we always Samira's always like, did you read that email? Did you read it?
And download it's a virus.
That's what me and Beck send each other screen caps of people that contact us like all day long. We're like, oh lol. Yeah.
But then you're like, the onus is on you for that. Then if you set them up with an artist, which doesn't often happen because you're like, go away. But then if you do, the onus is on you as the person who connected them. So if they have a bad experience with them, then you're like, because you've got those honest personal relationships as a community, and they'll be like, what the fuck did you do that for? Like, your name is now mud with that person. Yeah. They're going to run you down to other community. Like, I can't believe that they got me to do that show.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm. So there's also a thing of like, for us, we don't decide things on behalf of the artists that work with us, because we are artists in our own right. Samira and I just curate the space. There is no, you know, if people want access to the artists, they can contact them directly, firstly. And secondly, for us, I will not be the one who contacts. Like, sometimes I'd post it and let the artists know, especially if it's paid. Yeah. Even if it's not an amazing gig, I would say, we wouldn't even reply to the person, but we would post it and say, hey, there's this thing, these people contacted. If folks are interested, this is their email, contact them directly. Because we're not the in-between. We're not the go-between person. That's not my job. My job isn't to facilitate a relationship that benefits white people. No. Why would I do that? So it's really kind of 100% Hannah, like that thing of, you know, the accountability has to, like, these organisations that curate these problematic spaces need to be accountable for that. And we can't be that at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I see that a lot as well. Being an events manager for not only Alterity Collective, but Box Oceania as well, which like is another collective of mine that's based in Aotearoa. I find that when people do contact us and they like refer people, that I try and do the buffering for them as well. So before I recommend people, I'm like, how much are they getting paid? When are they playing? Who else is on there? Because I don't want them to be the only insert their in their mind minority on the bill / organization / anything. And if it kind of fits out, then I tend to have like, it's not like a formal thing for me, then it like completely shifts to that person. I'm like, hey, we're still catching up this afternoon, yeah, sure, and I've got something to chat to you about, like, let's do that. And I find that when it comes to organizations, I understand that it has to be really formal, but the lack of wanting to actually talk to people and actually do the research themselves is actually, it lacks a lot in the amount of times that I see people, like, you know, doing call outs, but it's just like, I haven't even seen you do any research at all, but I see you on Instagram taking a photo of your meal, and I see you on Twitter telling me about how you're going out tonight and you're going to go on a date and you're nervous, but you're just before you get drunk, you're just going to be like, oh, I better do this thing. Just, if anyone could just send me emails, it'd be fine. Like, and then that's it. So it's pretty, seeing all that as well is just like open for disaster. And the amount of times, I don't know if any of you have, and please like tell me a story about it, but I don't know if I did it recently where I was just like, wait a second, what you could do if you wanted to do this is actually find out where these people are playing next, find out who they are, find their pages, email them, ask them to catch up for a coffee, you know, otherwise go to their gig, pay full price at the door, watch their gig, clap really loud, wait for them afterwards, see if they're happy for a chat, and then take it from there. If they're pretty tired, they don't want to talk, then be like, cool, don't even mention the main reason why you're there. Actually treat people like human beings. So I have said that a few times, and people have been like, you don't know me, I don't have time for that. I'm like, cool. All right, well, thank you very much for that. Good luck finding no one. So I guess that kind of leads into something that also has been coming up a lot recently as well that I personally myself need to be fully aware of, and that's the fact that we are on stolen land, and even though we are people of colour, we have to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land too. So I guess, like, I'm going to jump to Hannah and be like, what made you start Sovereign Tracks? Tell me a bit about that, and yeah, give me your viewpoint on that as well.
So Sovereign Tracks, it's a very long-winded story, but basically it's about filling a gap online for kind of listening to Aboriginal artists. A lot of people don't know Aboriginal artists. They might be like the two or three that manage to get played on Triple J that people will know about. But there's so many artists out there. And so I just had a friend who was like, oh, you know, like, you listen to heaps of music. Can you just give me some recommendations on some listening? So I did a playlist, and then I just kept on doing it. It rolled on from there. And then the really deadly thing is that, I guess, obviously, because there was a gap online, it kind of got a bit of a following. And now Aboriginal artists will send me their music to put on the playlist. And it's turned into this whole other project. Definitely around... one thing that was happening at the same time as Sovereign Tracks is the Sovereign Apocalypse zine. Yeah. And
I was at that party. It was really great. It was really great.
It was lit.
And that was really fun. One thing my other... collaborator on that project we thought about really deeply was how do we, like, the best way to provide access for Aboriginal people to Aboriginal music, to Aboriginal spaces, to Aboriginal reading is to give it to them at a rate that we know they can afford to pay. So around that kind of idea we had for the zine and entry at the events and stuff is the mob rates, which is cheaper, and then everybody else pays. So that was $5, and then everybody else pays $10. And that is, like, inclusive of other women of colour, people of colour who are living on top of dispossessed land still. Like, yeah, we have solidarity, and we have some really good conversations, and there are some really, really good collaborations, but yeah, there is a point of friction still, and something like this where there's really deadly people here, like I would always hear Still Nomads or other people talking about, yeah, this is stolen land and we're gonna acknowledge sovereignty, but a lot of places, like, sometimes that doesn't happen with other mobs who have come and lived here. I have a really deadly thing that Aileen Morton Robinson wrote. Maybe I'll just read that. And Aileen Morton Robinson, she is a Kwandamuka Aboriginal feminist writer, academic, my hero. Indigenous people cannot forget the nature of migrancy and position all non-Indigenous people as migrants and diasporic. Our ontological relationship to land, the ways that country is constitutive of us, and therefore the inalienable nature of our relationship to land, makes a radical, indeed incommensurable difference between us and the non-Indigenous. This ontological relation to land constitutes a subject position that we do not share and which cannot be shared with the post-colonial subject whose sense of belonging in this place is tied to migrancy. So I find it really powerful when I'm having conversations with my peers and we can talk about diaspora and we can talk about the relationships and the way that things pull and come together and really go deep into those conversations around sovereignty and what it means to be a migrant living on dispossessed people's land. Rather than kind of lumping it all together and say, yeah, it's race and representation is a difficult thing to talk about.
Thanks for sharing that. That was actually, it was really good. What's the time now? Oh, we've got a bit of time now. I want to, like, take it up a notch and make it a bit lighter so we're laughing again. I guess tell me some artists that, like, really resonate with you in terms of, like, similar ethos, their music, everything else. For example, I love Jill Scott. She's a beautiful big woman, but smaller now, but hey. And I love the fact that majority of her songs mention eating. So, yeah, I guess that's where I'm going to start off with. Yeah.
artists who... Okay, so maybe this is a little biased, but I, at this point in my life, and I think for the rest of my life, I'm, like, completely and utterly obsessed with Sampa the Great.
Yeah.
Yes. For like a million reasons, and one of them is for making herself visible in Australian hip hop spaces where dark skinned African women are just I don't exist, right? And I know we're kind of trying to make it lighthearted, but I might kind of bring it down and then someone else can bring it back up. But there's this thing in Melbourne, and I think as well in Sydney, where Black culture, Black American culture is a free-for-all, you know. And as the African diaspora, there is also, you know, there is conversations that are had between these communities, like our communities, but ultimately that is, you know, those relationships are private and they're, like, you know, Black relationships. But having someone like Sampa the Great, having African artists, having Aboriginal artists, who are visible and who are so unapologetic in their Blackness and actually really do not care about anyone but their community. Doing that and then prospering is the most, like, liberating and most kind of... I don't know, liberating I find a really difficult word because white feminism ruined that for me. But, like, it is... Like, there is, like, this level of, like... There's, like, a weight off my shoulders, I feel, when I see these artists, like, get their lives on stage. It's a huge thing. And I think that, that the reason for that is because I see my cultures, I see the cultures of my kin appropriated throughout all art spaces, you know, including people of colour art spaces, frankly. Like, there is a specificity of African culture, Black culture, whatever it is, that is appropriated through people of colour spaces. There are massive, awesome, amazing DJs who are also, like, white-passing, kind of biracial South Asian. Like, these are things that, you know, and actually... And often men. It's like, often men. So for us to have someone like Sampa is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And she's getting her life overseas right now, doing amazing, amazing things. And I think, yeah, I kind of... I brought it down, but I lifted it back up again. So shout out to Sampa. Pay for her music. Shit, pay for her music. Oh, my God. Pay for her music. Pay for the music.
Support
of all
Black
the
artists.
Oh, my God. Of all the artists that Hannah posts the playlist of, pay, please. Like, pay for them. Make them money. Because it's very important. Yeah.
I'll go for Nairi. She's also a Papua New Guinean performer. And, you know, I love that, as with Sampa, like, her appeal, it just goes across so many different genres. And as a person of colour, she's not solely booked for, you know, world music festivals and stuff like that. I think that can happen so often when it's POC artists. You know, they kind of get ghettoised, and she does really great collabs with other fantastic artists. Her look is, you know, like, she's very proud of her PNG and her Pacific background, but, you know, she sort of rocks so many different looks, so it's very hard to pigeonhole her. And I think that's something that, you know, is not even really a conscious thing for her. I love that she's spoken up about race in the music industry. She got absolutely trashed for it. But, you know, she's standing her ground, and her music, her talent, her craft, her everything that's amazing just speaks for itself. And I think that always wins in the end. The haters can chew on that.
I think my artist would be K-Dash, who is a rapper from New York City and a Black trans woman. And she is just incredible. Like, check out her videos. She's just, like, killing it. I think it's really important, like, her visibility and the fact that it's not, like, because she's Black or she's trans. She's actually, like, just an incredible artist and rapper, and she will slay anyone. I think that's my artist to watch.
I've been getting a little obsessed with Aboriginal electronic music producers lately. There's some really deadly people out there. And there's two really young fellas, Curran and Steady. And I'll be playing a lot of their music tonight.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We...
have about 10 minutes. I also wanted to mention someone that was supposed to be on the panel yesterday, but she wasn't for health reasons. I guess another artist that I wanted to support is Otonga Tem as well. She has done heaps of wonderful things as well in terms of her art and like spreading the good word and everything else as well, but also like a really chilled out person. That's what I love about a lot of the artists that you mentioned, that not only are you really like you love their music, but you also know them on another level as well, because like what they represent too. I guess I wanted to touch really briefly before you take it to maybe one or two questions in terms of race and well, our blackness as well. I come across personally because I'm African and Māori, so I have a big mix of cultures, like two really heavy cultures within me, and I find myself too black to be Māori and too fair-skinned to be Ghanaian. Have any of you experienced that or got any friends who experienced that as well? Yeah. And also I just wanted to mention too, I was talking to Meg the other day when the fundraiser was happening for the car crash that happened with War. And a really good thing was brought up along with Mariki, that you can't measure your blackness with percentage. If you, like, you can't say 10th or 15th, it's just, you know, you're it. And a good example of this is, like, in Aotearoa, a lot of people come across and they're like, oh, where are you from? And you're like, oh, I'm Māori. And they're like, yeah, but what percentage? You know, there's no full-blooded Māoris anymore. I'm like, yeah, why is that, though, Captain Cook? Why is that? Like, I don't know. So I guess, like, we can touch on that briefly. Yeah.
A lot of the times I don't even respond to those questions anymore. I just say, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Can you, like, rephrase what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess, like, I'm mixed. Yeah, but I think, like, the point is no one's ever thought I was white. Like, it's not like they're like, oh, you're part of the white community. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I remember this example of like, there's like, oh, what, it's like this trivia question, like, what baseball player in this team is Italian? And like, no one guessed it. And it's because like, he was also black and Italian. And it's like, you like, blackness is, will always come first. Yep. Like, it's, if you're black, you're black. Yep. And yeah, I guess. That was just one example I wanted to share.
I mean, yeah, it's sort of working as a broadcaster and being, for a long time, just being one of a few POC broadcasters working in Melbourne, it was very hard because I had a lot of communities that sort of wanted me to take their cause on or to get their event out and what have you. But then on the flip side of that as well, I sort of carried that with white folks as well, where I'm the go-to person. Like, I remember, this is not music related, sorry, but when there was all the stuff that was happening with the Indian students and taxi drivers and what have you, like, they wanted me on local radio to go in and, be involved in a discussion. Like, be very mindful of that kind of stuff. It's not enough just that a person of colour is of colour, that they can just talk or be involved in any event, you know, with that kind of stuff. And language matters. Hey, like, you know, again, with the ghettoising of language, like, I don't know, in the music industry, man, that has to stop. Like, what's not world music? Everything's, all music's made in the world. But that label, you know, gets thrown around so much, and certainly, you know, working as a broadcaster, and when I see these fluffy kind of creative writing exercises on exoticism, it just makes me want to vomit. So be mindful of that. And asking where are you from, don't ask. If someone offers that information, that's fine, but don't let that be the precedent in order for you to move ahead and have a conversation with a person. They're way more interesting than just that. Yeah.
thing I would really talk about is people often talk about African Australian art as this like there's always been discussions and there's panels and all this stuff that talks about Africa is not a country and blah, blah. Like everybody knows that, no shit, okay. So that's one thing. The next thing is there is a movement that is called Pan-Africanism. There is a collective like solidarity within the continent, and I think often people trying to people trying to kind of make those points of like Africa is not a country kind of overshadows, especially when white people try to make those points. And the thing is, they don't exist in binaries. I am from Eritrea. I'm also part of a specific language group and a tribal group and all of those things, but I am also like a black African woman, you know. There is such a like a big solidarity and connection amongst the whole continent that's really specific, and that's kind of my only kind of point that I would make. And it's something that with Still Nomads people, I've had someone ask me like, oh, so is it, you know, an East African artist collective or is it like a Southern or like, where is it? Like often like it's been white people who would ask that question and it's like,
yeah,
actually we can do all of it. We can be an African artist collective and also focus on specific people and specific regions and specific whatever. We can actually do it all. And I don't need to answer that question.
Yeah.
Sweet. We have about 5 minutes. If there's any really pressing questions, feel free to put your hand up. I'm going to give the platform to people of colour, queer people of colour, queer trans people of colour as well. So feel free to if you've got any questions at all.
No.
All right. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start closing up by giving us one last chance to talk about some of the really good, warm, fuzzy stuff. You know, the stuff that's just like, what was good about it? Because sometimes it's not always doom and gloom most of the time. But I guess, like, I wanted to hear, like, a really good story, a really good, like, moment that you just felt really okay, you know? And I guess, like, I can kick it off, like, for example, starting the collectives and being amongst friends and doing those has actually helped me out, and I've seen that kind of help other people that come along too. And the amount of times after an event and I'm really tired and everyone else is wasted and they're waiting for their Ubers and they've lost their bag and, you know, see weave on the floor. Like, when it's all done and dusted, I'm sitting down having a cigarette and the last person will come out and be like, thank you so much for this event, and I can't wait for the next one. And it makes me want to do them every day and every week and every month. But, you know, like at the end of the day, when I leave the venue and I have to clean up and everything, I'll go back to the tram, it's straight back to Racism 101. So I really like those stories and I really like those encounters and I really cherish them as well. So, yeah.
Definitely when I get emails and messages from mob. Frequently, because like I lurk on SoundCloud so hard, like I like follow like a trail. And sometimes I'll get to like a particular artist and like they might be from Bower Reveal or I don't know, somewhere, and they've only got a few tracks up, and I might put that in the playlist, and usually like I get in contact with them if I don't know them, let them know, and sometimes it's just so deadly. I get a response that's just like, being on a playlist, like a little blog, means the world to them, and they're like, yes, yes, like I'm going to keep making music, like will you put on the next playlist for me if I send you something, like, and it just makes everything good.
For me, I think it would be our first ever Still Nomads event. So when we started Still Nomads, we really had no idea what it was going to be. We just knew that there was a gap. We didn't really know what exactly we were going to do. All we did was get a food truck and a microphone and some decks, and that was it. And we just had like a little space. And it was raining, and it was like May a few years ago. And all of these people just started rocking. And we just made a Facebook event page. All these people just started rocking up. And Samira and I were like, who's that person? Do you know this person? Who's this person? What are they doing? What's going on? And all these people just started coming. There were so many people. The space was so packed. And we didn't know half the people. And I think there was just like a, there was a curiosity. And then when this people, when we were there, people were asking us, they're like, what exactly is this? And every kind of 10 minutes we'd reconvene and we'd be like, what did you say to them? Because I don't know what I said. What, like, wait, I don't know what it is. And it was surreal. The experience was so weird because we'd keep doing that. And then at the end of the night, there was just 30 young African kids helping us clean up and like putting the chairs away, just, you know, really well, you know, putting the food away, putting all the rubbish away, and just chatting and listening to music. And they're like, when's the next thing? I don't know what this is, but when's the next this? And we always get messages on Facebook and on Instagram of like, oh, thank you so much for providing that space, you know, I have, you know, I'm in year 11 and it's really hard at you at school and whatever and whatever. And that's literally the only reason why we do it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think I was on a panel a few months ago with Bex and another friend of ours, and I recorded it and put it online, and it just got a really amazing response, and also some of the queer people of colour in that were there. I later met them just through mutual friends, and they told me how much it meant to them and like the topics that we discussed, and that it was just really, really profound and special. And I think like sometimes I'm like, why am I sitting on these panels talking all the time? But like moments like that make it worth it. And then like from that, like that's how we build community. And yeah, so I think that's mine.
Well, media, working in media in Australia, as I said earlier, is a predominantly white space, and it's, you know, I think it says a lot about people's unconscious bias that I look a certain way, but then a lot of people are surprised by the way I sound. So when I'm calling and making you know, organising for people to come in for interviews, etc., it's such a joy for me that I've been able to connect with so many POC folk from across this city and beyond. But the best thing is, you know, because I don't always bring up that, you know, I want to speak to them because I'm also a person of colour, etc., but when I see them wander into the studio, and they've obviously been listening in the car while they've been, you know, coming into the station, and then they walk past and they see who's presenting, and just the look of delight, sheer delight on their face to know that it's going to be a black person that's speaking to them about really, you know, things that matter to them. But sometimes we don't always have the language because we feel like we've got to hold back because you don't want to offend people, but you also lack the confidence because, you know, you're often the only person of colour in a space. And then when we get talking, I know it's because of this that I'm able to go deeper with interviews. Anna Reid is a phenomenal interviewer and broadcaster exactly for that reason as well. If you can listen to any of the shows that she's presented with Women on the Line, we can go places with POC that we definitely couldn't do, and we wouldn't, it's not even that we wouldn't want to necessarily if we were white, but we just actually wouldn't have the experience to have a level of awareness with those interviews. And that for me is so fulfilling, to know that I can really get the best out of people I speak to as a consequence of my race, my gender and my ethnicity.
I think we're going to tie it up now. I pretty much wanted to have some like really amazing final sentence to be like, you know, Sesame Street, what's the letter that we learnt today kind of style. I don't have anything because I'm pretty speechless. So I guess I'm going to do the generic thank you very much for coming here. Thanks for getting your Uber here, the public transportation, for, you know, making sure you had like a cup of tea before you got here, for the preparation. But also, thank you very much for doing the things you do, for gathering that strength, for doing it on a regular basis. I and we all totally see you. We totally hear you. And I really don't want it to stop. Please continue. So I just want everyone to give a Round of applause to Namila, Wahir, Arij and Hannah.
And Bex, phenomenal moderating as well. Thank you for letting us feel safe.
Well, I hope that you got a lot out of that communities and intersections, race and sexism and music panel. It was really important, I think. Again, apologies that we didn't have the full panel recorded at the time. There was a technical issue, but at least we got the last 30 or so minutes of it. And thanks again to all the team at the Listen Conference. Listen Conference Future Feminists. Listen Conference Feminist Futures 2016.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.